Good morning on this glorious Houston morning. Isn't this wonderful to be here? Let me ask you, I want to see a raise of hands. How many of you had to shovel snow to get your car out of the garage this morning? Aren't we lucky to be here in Houston? It's so wonderful this time of year. But I have heard that there are three things that are really wrong and bad with Houston, and they're June, July, and August. But otherwise, it's great to be here. And it's a privilege and an honor to be here while Pastor Dan is up in snow country meeting his new grandson. So that's wonderful for him. The story today that we're going to look at is actually two stories, one inside another one. And I really love this passage here, the way it leads us to understand who we are and our needs, and Jesus, who he is, and how he can fulfill all of those needs. I've shared this story with the Chinese language congregation, and now I want to share it with you. So if you have your Bibles, you can keep it open as we're going to refer several times back to this passage here. Now, it starts off, it says here, now when Jesus returned, so returned from where begs the question. Now, he was at the edge of the Lake Galilee there in the village Capernaum, and he had gone across the lake, and now he's coming back. And as he comes back, we see there was a large crowd of people there that were waiting for him. Jesus, during his ministry around Lake Galilee, was very popular. People had heard stories of miraculous cures and loved to hear his teaching that was very special. And he taught with authority, unlike the other Jewish rabbis. And so there was always these crowds around him. But out of the crowd comes a man that the people are familiar with. A man that the Bible here calls, in my translation, head leader of a synagogue. The translation that was read says a ruler of the synagogue. And we have the man's name. His name is Jairus. What does it mean to be a leader or ruler of the synagogue? Perhaps we can best understand it as being on the board of directors, and he would be one that would lead in worship in the synagogue. He would be among those who would help fund the synagogue, the building, and the operation of the synagogue. It was an unpaid position, but a position where it required a financial support of all the activities in the synagogue. So here is a man who is well-known, a man with authority, a man with great respect among all the people. And here this man comes out of the crowd and does the most astonishing thing you can imagine that left everybody, I'm sure, staring with their mouth open. Jairus, the man with authority, comes, and the Bible tells us he fell down at the feet of this guy from Nazareth, son of a carpenter there, a man without really a title of any kind, rabbi or anything. He comes and he falls down at his feet, giving him the honor and the respect, the glory that is due to Jesus. So the Bible says here he came and fell at his feet, pleading with Jesus. What was he pleading for? Well, you saw the text. He was pleading for his only daughter, 12 years old. She was lying at home on her deathbed. And there was one hope and only one hope, and that was Jesus. And Jairus, the man of respect, was willing to humble himself and fall at Jesus' feet to beg him, please come to my house. Jairus was in a position of helplessness. Only Jesus could help him. But Jairus also took a great risk at coming to Jesus and displaying the honor and humility before him. Why? Because the Jewish leaders had already threatened anyone who comes to Jesus like that will be expelled from the synagogue, will be expelled from society and be rejected. And there was a warning that came with very serious consequences. But did he care? His only daughter was more important. He was willing to run the risk to fall down at Jesus' feet and beg him, "Please, Lord, come, my only daughter is dying." Well, he was helpless. The story picks up and it says, Jesus on his way, the crowds were crushing around him. And as they were walking, moving slowly in that crowd toward Jairus' home, Jesus stops and he said, "Who touched me?" Oh, what kind of question is that? I mean, even Peter says, "Well, who do you mean? Everybody's touching you. They're pushing up against you." And Jesus says, "No, I felt the power go out from me." Of course, Jesus already knew. But Jesus had to stop there at that very teachable moment. He stopped, and behind him was this woman who was trembling in fear in the crowd. What does the Bible teach us about this woman? You know, this story is so important that it's found in three different Gospels: Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And here we are looking at it in Luke. And Luke tells us that there was the woman who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. For 12 years, but no one could help her. Now, if we were to look at the reading in the Gospel of Mark, we would learn another detail that somehow Luke omits. Mark says that this woman had gone to many doctors and she had spent all of her money to no avail. But Luke doesn't write that down. Anybody want to guess why? He was a doctor himself. We have many great doctors here, but we can't do everything. And so here Luke tells us about the lady, omitting one little detail here. And so when Jesus stops the crowd, the woman is trembling there. Why? Because she also took an immense risk to come out in the crowd of people to look for her only hope, which was Jesus, and come and touch just the hem of his robe with that hope, with that faith in her heart. If I can only come. Maybe she came from afar. And you know, if you and I come to Jesus with that kind of faith and hope, with our problems, realizing that Jesus, you are the solution, the only solution, we will see miracles happen like we see in the Bible when we follow Jesus with that kind of faith and honoring him and glorifying him in front of the crowd. And here, the woman gives her testimony. She says to the whole crowd and tells them what had happened. She told them that she was healed. You can imagine that crowd. You can imagine how happy they were. You can imagine all the smiles in the group. Wow, the woman was beaming from ear to ear. I'm healed. You can think of that life-changing moment has now come into her life. And in front of all the people, she gives her testimony. You know, that's very important whenever God works those wonderful blessings in our life. It's important that we tell others. Even from the Old Testament, from the book of Psalms, I will tell of the blessings. I will tell it to the nations. It's important to share what God has done of greatness in our life. Why keep those blessings to ourselves and keep silent? We need to share and encourage others and bring them also to the source of our hope, to the source of the hope of the whole world. Here was Jairus in that crowd of beaming, smiling people. But I kind of suspect that he was a little bit anxious, Wendy. You know, everybody's like, "Wow, isn't this wonderful?" And Jairus is kind of looking at his clock. "My daughter's at home sick. Come on, Jesus, let's hurry. There's not much time left." And you know that crowd with all the smiles and the joy? Soon every face lost that smile because a messenger came. A messenger of very bad news came. He came to that crowd and he said, "Master Jairus," he was a servant of Jairus, "don't bother Jesus anymore. Your daughter is already dead. Hope is gone. There's nothing you can do." And you know, our doctors today can do incredible things, can't they, in the hospital? I mean, even a heart transplant. Isn't that amazing? Been around for a few years. The things that they can do now. But when a person is dead and life is gone, there is nothing that any machine, that any miracle drug, that any great surgeon or doctor can do. It's finished. And in human terms, there is no more hope. Gone. We will all of us be there one day. But we can rejoice and we can have peace that we know when that minute comes, we will be in the presence of God our Father, our loving Father, will be there with open arms to welcome us. But here is Jairus, his only daughter, dead. And you can imagine what an emotional tragedy this was. Because at that age, around 12 and 13, would be about the time to get married at that time. So here was the hope of our daughter getting married and the grandkids coming in a few years. Our family's growing. Remember the joy of that? Family's growing. We've just come back from Georgia, where we were very cold there, with our 6 grandchildren for Thanksgiving. It's good to be back in warmer Houston, but of course we always miss the little grandchildren. And here is this man. You can imagine just his mind, the flash. Wow, gone. No hope. And the servant that came was respectful enough to say, "No need to bother Jesus anymore." He understood there was no more hope. And I love this verse that Jesus comes in to these people without hope. Verse 50. Hearing this, Jesus said to Jairus, "Don't be afraid, just believe." Don't be afraid, just believe. The Greek is closer to just begin to believe. I love it in Chinese. Bu yao pa, jiao xin. No need to be afraid. Just believe. You don't need a pa, good Chinese word, to fear. When we walk with Jesus, when he is there, everything is possible. We worship the God of the impossible. We are in his hands. Doesn't that give us peace and confidence? Jairus probably thought, "You don't know what you're talking about. Don't be afraid. Just believe." Believe in what? She's dead. How can she come back again? We all know our experience in life. When they're gone, they're gone. But Jesus said those words that must have been hard to understand, impossible to understand at that moment. Then the Bible tells us that Jesus went to Jairus' house and he arrived there. And he went into the room with Peter, James, and John, 3 of his closest disciples in that certainly very small room, and her parents. And as they arrived there, it says all the people were wailing and mourning for her. Now at this time, in biblical times, they had professional mourners. And I first started off my career in Asia a long time ago. First time I lived there was in 1972, a long time ago. I was just fresh a year out of U of H, graduated there, and went out on a mission for 2 years working as a journeyman in a Chinese Christian school. And I remember attending my very first Chinese Buddhist funeral. And there was a sense of hopelessness, a wailing. And they actually had professional mourners at the time. They would dress in white, kind of sackcloth white, and they would kneel down and be there and kind of like on cue, one, two, three, ooh, you know, and they would start crying. And it left me with a sense of wow, there's no hope here, you know. So I kind of think this is Asian culture in the Bible here. This professional mourners were there. They had been to many funerals before. They had seen many dead bodies carried away and buried. And here Jesus tells them, stop wailing. Stop making that noise. She is not dead, but she is asleep. She's not dead. She's asleep. What is their reaction? What do you know? We're the people who've attended many funerals. We know dead's dead. They laughed at Jesus, what the Bible says. They laughed at him. And you know the world is still laughing at us at times, aren't they? When we give a testimony of the greatness of Jesus, the change in our life, the wonderful things he can do, we can hear the world laughing at times at us. But don't be afraid. Don't be shy. Don't be embarrassed. Our faith is founded upon a rock. Laughter will come and laughter will go, but we stand steady on the word of God. That which is true down through the ages. Yes, Jesus was mocked, and you may be mocked, and I have been mocked, but we stand firm on God's word. And then Jesus turned to the little girl, put his hand out of her, and he spoke to her. He said, get up. You can imagine the feeling that those in the room had. Like, has he gone off his rocker? He's talking to a corpse. She's dead. She hasn't breathed in a while. But then that girl sat up. Wow, what happened to those faces with all the laughter? The awe, the incomprehension, the looking at Jesus, the questions, who are you? What power you have? The disciples thinking, wow, on that boat, the waves and the winds stopped. Nature obeys him. He multiplies the food to feed. He heals the blind, the lame. And now, power over death. The last and most fearful enemy we have, death. And in Chinese, death is like a curse word. You know, you ones who speak that, you know, oh, say la, you know, like when we'd say a bad word, they'd say, oh, death, you know, the fear, the absolute fear of death. And that's in all cultures. But here, Jesus is the one that can conquer that fear and speak to that cold corpse to rise and give her some food and let her be a part of your family and prepare for that wedding next year. Joy comes back to that family. There is hope with Jesus. This is a wonderful story. A story that brings hope. Brothers and sisters, there is nothing impossible with God. If you are facing a situation where you feel this is hopeless, turn to God and tell him. And he can turn things around for you. Bring hope into your life. The Christmas story is about this hope. That God in all his awesome power and glory in heaven can come down as a little helpless babe lying in a filthy barn with animals. And he did that because he is coming to bring hope. The Savior of the world bringing hope to all of us. Let's turn to him. Let's come to him and say, Lord, this is my situation. Let's come to him to honor him with humility, be willing to fall at his feet in front of the crowd, be willing to accept the mockery and the laughter that may come at times, because we know that he is the only hope. Let us pray. As our music team comes forward, let's bow to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for these words of hope that come to fill our heart. Thank you for your deeds of power in the past that are still so present today. Father, I pray that each one of us will come to you like little babes, like Jairus, like that woman, willing to fall at your feet, willing to take risk, willing to honor you with our humility. Father God, touch each heart here today, we pray. In Jesus' powerful name, amen.